Today's daf, Sanhedrin, daf Lamed Vov. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The beginning of the Gemara that will be read today will be from the last line of Lamed Hey Omid Beis. The Gemara that we will be beginning, in fact, is in the middle of a discussion. The general topic that was being dealt with by the Gemara was the issue of court executions for people that have been indicted on capital offenses. Those court executions are not to be carried out on the Shabbos day. In the course of this discussion, a hierarchy of different activities was developed. Those involve service in the Beis HaMikdash, sacrificial offerings on Shabbos, and the issue of a court execution. What is the din? For example, if someone is processing the korban, for example, a kohen is taking care of a korban, and this particular kohen was found guilty of a capital offense, do we remove him from the mizbeach in order to kill him? That would be called, it would be termed in using the terminology of the Gemara, that ritzicha meaning the killing of by the court. Ritzicha is doiche avoida. Toward the end of the previous year, we were exposed to Shitas Abaye, and using our topic headings, we can note at the bottom of Lamed Hei Omid Beis, the Tat Nosei, we presented Shitas Abaye, that avoda, shel korban tzibur, a public sacrifice, doiche ritzicha, will supersede ritzicha. In other words, that if a kohen is guilty of court to be executed by the court, if he's in the middle of a public sacrifice, sacrificial offering, he is not removed from that in order to carry out the execution. And that is derived from Kal v'chomer logic. A second point that Abaye makes is that ritzicha, court execution, will be doiche avoda when the type of avoda in question is that of a private nature, korban yochid. And the basis for that is the pasuk that says, me'im mizbechi tikochenu lamus, that you shall take him to be executed from the altar. In other words, the need to execute him will supersede the activity that he is involved in, according to Abaye, provided that that activity is a private sacrificial offering. Shitas Rava, on the other hand, which will be the opening point of today's shiur, states that Ritzicha is doiche all forms of avoda, including korban tzibur, including a public offering. And with that, we will be able to fulfill the instruction stated in the pasuk, Me'im mizbechi tikochenu lamus. As far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, in order for Rava to come to that conclusion, he's going to propose something that is preposterous, in his opinion, and attempt to work it through logically, and then reject that reasoning. With the markings, we've used a question marking, a kushya, whereby Rava poses a question on Abaye's approach. At the end of the long question, which continues down the first few lines of Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, you will notice a teretz marking, a long answer response, at which point Rava develops his thesis, that which we already said. We begin the Gemara. Omar Rava. Let us take a look at Rashi immediately. Omar Rava. I hai kal v'chomer osis l'midrash, if you come to darshan your kal v'chomer, the one that Abaye used to derive his idea that public sacrifices are doche ritzicha, if you darshan that kal v'chomer, su lo misukam me'im mizbechi, you won't be able to establish the use of that posuk for anything. In other words, you'll have a posuk that is void of meaning. Why is that? De'i b'korban yochid, if you think that court execution will supersede sacrificial offerings when you're dealing with a private korban, that's not necessarily so. Ha'iko le'medrishnami kavachomer shenidche mipnei korban yochid. We will develop, we will show you, says Rava, a kal v'chomer that will demonstrate that even the offering of a private sacrifice will supersede ritzicha. The kosavar, because we are of the opinion, and the kal v'chomer that will be developed will be based on one of two opinions that argue with each other, but the one opinion that we will follow in this particular line of thought will hold nedarim unedavos, which are private type offerings, kreivim b'yom tov, that they are offered on Yom Tov. And being that there is an opinion that holds that these private offerings supersede Yom Tov, and we know that Yom Tov supersedes court execution, in other words, we don't carry out court executions on Yom Tov, if that be the case, then through Kal v'chomer we will argue that the private offerings will supersede court execution. Once again, developing the hierarchy where the strongest element will be the private offerings that push off the next level, the Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov itself pushes off the lowest level, court execution. We now continue in the Gemara with Rava's proposition or question, Lo tehe ritzicha doiche korban yochid mekal v'chomer. I would argue, says Rava, against what you, Abaye, said, that ritzicha should not be able to supersede even a private offering. In other words, that if a kohen is involved with a private offering, he continues doing that and we don't take him off to be executed. And we will say that as follows. Ma yom tov, the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, ma yom tov shenidche mipnei korban yochid, ein ritzicha doche oso, Yom Tov, which itself is superseded by Korban Yochid, but Yom Tov itself supersedes Ritzicha. Korban Yochid shudoche es Yom Tov. Korban Yochid, which supersedes Yom Tov itself, enodin shelo tehe Ritzicha doiche oisoi. Then all the more so, it is only reasonable to say that Ritzicha would not be able to supersede a private offering. If you glance at the little list that we included at the side of the Gemara, we've listed there on the inside margin, you notice Korban Yochid, that supersedes Yom Tov, and Yom Tov supersedes Ritzicha, so we say Kal v'chomer that Korban Yochid, which is at the highest level, will certainly supersede Ritzicha. The Gemara goes on saying that all is not lost as far as Abaye's cause is concerned, whereby Abaye wanted to apply the pasuk of Me'im Mizbechi Tikochenu Lemus for a private korban. Then we can say Ha'nicha Lemandi Amar Ein Nedorim Unedavos Kreivim B'Yom Tov. Things will work out well for Abaye's cause if you hold that private offerings are not Doche Yom Tov. In such a case, we would have Korban Yochid listed underneath Yom Tov, namely Yom Tov being stronger than Korban Yochid. I wouldn't be able to make the aforementioned Kal v'chomer. Elo leman diomar nedorim unedavos kreivim b'Yom Tov. If, however, you say that private offerings are offered on Yom Tov, then I would be able to make the Kal v'chomer. My ikol lemeimar. What are you then going to say against the Kal v'chomer that would end up saying that that private offerings will be doche ritzicha? And if you say that, and this is the main problem, if you say such a kal vachomer, there won't be anything left to derive from the verse. And it is impossible to have a situation where you have a verse devoid of meaning. Ela Omar Rava. Now Rava comes and presents his own real opinion. Lo mibayo lemanda Omar nidorim unidavois kraven biyomtov. It's not necessary to say, according to the opinion, that private offerings are offered on Yom Tov. According to this opinion, that private offerings are capable of being offered on Yom Tov, you have to say that the pasuk of Me'im Mizbechi, which says court executions supersede sacrificial offerings, you'll have to say that the pasuk comes along and uproots the kal vachomer entirely. And as a result of that, under all circumstances, ritzicha will supersede sacrificial offerings. Elo afilu lemandi omar nidorim unedavos ein kraven v'yomtov. Even according to the opinion that holds that private offerings do not supersede Yom Tov. And according to this opinion, you might have said that the pasuk of Me'im Mizbechi, which states court execution supersedes, that will supersede the private offering, which itself is a fairly weak entity insofar as that it doesn't supersede Yom Tov. So even according to this particular opinion, Hoksiv, the pasuk though, says Me'im Mizbechi. Let us go over this last point again. Even according to the Manda Omar, that Nidorim and Nidavos are not offered on Yom Tov, and one might have said that the Pasuk teaches us that we take him to be executed when involved with a private offering. And the Kal Vachomer that we learned before, that teaches that Avodah, that sacrificial offering, supersedes court execution, that Kal Vachomer could still be preserved for the realm of public sacrifices. Nevertheless, even according to this opinion, Hoksiv, the Pasuk says, Me'im Mizbechi, which equals Mizbechi HaMiyuchad Li, my special offering, my special altar. You know, this is taken with a double meaning. Mizbechi can refer to altar and also refer to that which is offered on the altar. What is meant by the special sacrifice? Umay ninhu, what is that special sacrifice? Tomid, the daily morning and afternoon sacrifice. The Omar Rachmona, and the Pasuk is telling us, Me'im Mizbechi Tikochenu Lamus, which means, even when involved with the Tomid, which is a public sacrifice, even so, court execution supersedes. So with that, we see Rava's opinion, as we stated in our introduction, that court execution will supersede all forms of sacrificial offering, including public sacrifices. And on that point, Abaye seems to disagree by saying that only with regard to private offerings will the court execution supersede. Dine Momenos, Hatmeos Vatarois, Maschilin Min HaGodol. The deliberations concerning these types of cases, financial cases and other cases dealing with ritual purity and impurity, the deliberations begin with the greatest member of the court. Omar Rav, Ano Havoi B'minyono Debei Rebbe, I was part of the court of Rebbe, which depends on votes. That's the minyon. They vote and we would follow the majority opinion. So Rav is telling us that he was on the court that was presided over by Rebbe. Uminoi Didi Havu Masli Beresha, and they would start with me. They would start with my opinion. The Gemara asks, "Vohanan maschilin min hagodol tanan," but our Mishnah teaches that the eldest or greatest authority is the one to start the discussion. And Rav, in the context of Rebbe's basin, was not that. There were greater people present, and yet they started with Rav. In order to answer this, we see Rabo Berei Derova offering an answer. We've noted his name with a triangle because we're going to see another comment of the same name regarding a different issue. So, Omar Rabo Berei Derova Vitema, another version is Rabbi Hillel Berei Derabbi Wallace. Shiny Minyona de Bay Rebbe, the case of the Rebbe Yehuda Anossi's basin is different. De Kulu Minyonayu Minatzar Havu Masli, all votes or all consultations regarding court decisions started from the least of the individuals, and this was a function of the great humility that Rebbe used to practice. But in general, the rule of the Mishnah applies that in non-capital cases, we would start the deliberations and the voting from the greatest of the individuals that are present. The Omar Rabo Brei de Rava Vitema, again the same possible alternative version, Rabbi Hillel Brei de Rabbi Wallace. He tells us something of an interesting historical nature. And that is Mimois Moshe v'ad Rebbe lo motzinu Torah u'gedula b'mokom echad. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Rebbe, there was no personality that contained both elements in one person. Which elements? Torah, being the greatest Torah scholar of his generation, and also gedula, leadership and authority. Where both elements being contained in one person was just not found. Before we go further in the Gemara, we will notice on the outside margin Nosei Mivneh, we have a bowtie form that appears, Shtei Memros, two comments, Benosei Torah Gedula B'Mokom Echad, regarding this topic of Torah and Gedula in one personality. The Rashi, before we go further, says b'mokom echad, Torosan u'gedulosan shel Yisrael ba'odam echad, the Torah of Israel and the greatness of Israel in one personality, she'ein k'moise b'chol Yisrael b'torah u'begedula, k'goin Moshe sh'yogodol al kol Yisrael b'malchus. That's a reference to gedula. He was the leadership figure u'betorah, and with regard to Torah knowledge, v'chein Rebbe b'nesius u'betorah, and likewise with Rebbe, he was the nosi, the leader of his generation, and also the greatest Torah authority. We have a bracketed section. After the bracketed section, we're going to find another observation like that of Rabbah that was just made. And if we skip the brackets for a moment, we see Omar Rav, and the length of the brackets, of course, one can see by the length indicator, a vertical dash dotted line that in this case appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. After the brackets, Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Afani Omer, I too want to add, Mimos Rebbe Ad Rav Ashi Lo Motzinu Torah U'Gedula B'Mokom Echad. For another period of approximately 400 years, we don't find in one personality both of these elements, except for Rebbe, and toward the end of the era of the Talmud, you find Rav Ashi with those same characteristics. Within the bracketed section, and we have a little note indicating what is in the brackets, there's a little asterisk pointing you to the inside margin, Basograim, Sidra Shokushois Shenithu. There will be a series of questions that will be rejected. The nature of these questions is simply questioning the accuracy of this observation that from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, there was no personality with these two characteristics. As we go on, we're going to read through the list. And as far as the background to the list and who these personalities were, we're not going to get involved with that in the context of this year, though the information is very interesting. one will find Rashi touches on several points, and if one researches it, he'll discover a lot more. We will go on a superficial basis, pointing out the question and answer. So the Gemara asks, "Velo, and there was no other Ha Hava Yehoshua. What about Yehoshua? Was he not both the leader and the greatest Torah personality?" One says, "No, Hava Elozer. He had competition, so to speak. There was another great Torah personality. Therefore, greatness of or exclusive greatness of Torah and leadership in one person was not the case in the time of Yehoshua. The Hava Pinchas." Response, Havu Zakenim. There were other elders there that were his equals in Torah learning. Vahavi Shaul, there was King Saul. Gemara says, well, Havi Shmuel, there was also Shmuel. Question, Vaha Noch Nafshe, but Shmuel died before Shaul. So could not one say that Shaul nevertheless was for a period of time both Torah and Gedula in one person? The Gemara says, that may be true, but what we're trying to observe is Kulu Shane Kormina. We're looking for someone that throughout their lifetime was contained these two elements and exclusively, and that was not the case with Shaul. Question, Vahavi David? Whereas does no, he had an equal in Torah scholarship, Vahavi Iro Hayiri. Question, Vaha Noch Nafshe, but Iro Hayiri died while David HaMelech was alive. The Gemara says, well, we're looking for an example like Rebbe or like Moshe Rabbeinu, Kulu Shone Kormina. We're looking for someone that throughout his life he occupied that exclusive position, he who contained both elements alone. Veho Havi Shlomo, the Gemara says, Havi Shimei Ben Gera. There was Shimei Ben Gera who was his equal in Torah scholarship. Veho Katle, but Shlomo executed him. Once again, the Gemara answers, Kule Shone Kormina, but we're looking for someone that throughout their lifetime, enjoyed that exclusive position of Torah Ugedula B'mokam Echad. Question, Ho Havi Chizkia? Was there not the King Chizkia? So the Gemara says, no, because Havi Shevna, there was his equal in Torah scholarship, Shevna. In fact, this personality was discussed a few dapim before. Question, Vaho Iktil? But was he not killed? Wasn't Shevna killed, leaving Chizkia alone? Once again, answers, Kulu Shane Kormina. We're looking for someone during all his lifetime, he was exclusive. Veho Havi Ezra. Was there not Ezra? The more answers, no, he wasn't alone. Havi Nehemiah ben Chachayu. He had his equal in Torah learning in the form of Nehemiah. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo. Af Ani Omer. Miyamois Rebbe ad Rav Ashi. I too want to say that from the time of Rebbe Uranosi until Rav Ashi, lo motzino Torah gedula b'mokem echad. We don't find in one personality both the greatest of Torah authority and leadership authority in one figure. Question, velo, is that so? Is that not so? Veho havi Huna Bar Nosan. There was Huna Bar Nosan that Tosfos describes as someone who was Korov l'malchus. He was a leadership figure and also a great Torah scholar. So the Gemara answers, Huna Bar Noson Mekev Havet Kayef Le Rav Ashi. Huna Bar Noson was subordinate to Rav Ashi. Therefore, when we say that Rav Ashi was alone, that was the case. He was alone insofar as being the greatest authority in terms of leadership and Torah learning, even though there appeared to be a challenger, namely Huna Bar Nosan. Nevertheless, in practice, he was subordinate to Rav Ashi. Dine Nefoshos Maschil Min Atzad, Min Nohani Mili. From where do we know that Dine Nefoshos, the capital cases, start from the least of the present, of those judges present? To answer this, Gemara provides two approaches. We have them numbered here in our Gemara, one and a few lines later, two. On the outside margin, we have the nosei, the topic heading, Shnei Mekoros, two sources, the Bedine Nefoshos, Maschim Min Atzad. That in capital cases, we start from the side, from the least of the individuals. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Acho Bar Popa, Omar Kro Lo Sane Al Riv. The word Riv is spelled in the Torah without a Yud. And the result of that is Lo Sane Al Rav, that one is not allowed to answer back to the Rav. Therefore, in capital cases, we start from the least of the individuals. Because if we started from the greatest of the judges present in a capital case, and that judge found the defendant guilty, it would sort of muzzle up all the rest of the judges who might find innocence, but their reluctance to articulate their positions because of this restriction. Therefore, in order to circumvent that problem, we start from the least of the judges there, and if he argues in favor of guilt, that won't stop the greater judges present from arguing for innocence. Rabbo Barbachano Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mehocha. From the following, we see this idea, and the following quote will involve a capital case, and the incident concerning Novol, who was married to Avigail, and Novol was a person who did not treat David HaMelech in a proper way, and hence he was guilty of Morei B'Malchus, considered rebelling against the monarchy. The Pasuk says, Vayomer David LaNoshov, Chigru Ish Es Charboi, each one should gird himself with his sword, Vayach Geru Ish Es Charboi, Vayach Gor Gam David Es Charbo. We notice that the others that were with him girded themselves first, so to speak, and then David. The David being mentioned last illustrates what our point. And Rashi says, "Vayachkor gam David charbo ba'achrona nimnu alav laduno mishomori b'malchus." David himself was mentioned the last because of the fact that this was a capital case, and as we said, the lesser judges state their stances, their opinions first. Omar Rav. Before we continue, let us glance at our topic heading. Rav v'talmido, a master, a teacher, and his student. Ha'im nechshavim kishnei deos legabi minyan. Are they considered two votes, two separate opinions when it comes to the vote? The Gemara continues. Omar Rav, shoyne odam l'talmido, v'don imoy b'dinei nefoshos. A Rav, a teacher, can teach his student halachas, and show him how the case is developing, and then after the student heard what the Rav had to say, he then can serve as one of the opinions in the voting. Rashi says, "Shoyne odom l'tamido umara lo iponim l'schus l'choifa b'sochadin." The Rav can show his student in the course of the judicial procedure sides to show him sides for innocent and sides for guilt, v'don imoy, and debate with him, v'nimne imoy oy l'susa l'choyva, and then be counted along with the Rav, whether it be for innocence or for guilt, umatin hadin al pi hatamid ke'achad min hadayonim, and the majority opinion can be reached through having this particular student be counted in the voting. The Gemara now asks a question from a source, Meisvei. We find a Tanaic source seemingly saying something different. Hataros vatameos ho'av uvnoi horav v'talmido monin lehem shnayim. When it comes to topics like taros and tameos, issues concerning purity and impurity, where Rulings of those matters can be done at the outset by one. The issue of a vote would come up only if a few people were there and they are arguing with each other, then you have to take a vote. But in principle, Taros and Timaeus can be judged, can be decided by a singular person. Dine Momenus, v'dine Nefoshos. However, financial cases and capital cases, v'dine Makois, and cases involving lashings, Kiddush HaChodesh v'Ibur Shana, the issues concerning the establishment of a new month and the lengthening of a year by adding a month, Av Uvnoi Horav V'Talmido Ein Moinin Lohem Elo Echad. In those cases, since they have a fixed number at the outset of judges, they can't be judged by a single judge. a Rav and his student are not counted as two separate opinions, but they would be considered only one. Following our markings, notice before the source we had Talmido is dashed underline, the Dine Nefashos is counted as a separate opinion even in capital cases. Here we dashed underline Dine Nefashos, and also the expressions Horav Talmido, Ain, we've emphasized with a squiggle underline, are not counted as two separate opinions. Hence we see a problem for Rav. The Gemara answers, Ki Ko'omar. Ki Ko'omar Rav, Kegoin Rav Kahano, Verav Asi. Rav's din that a Talmud, a student, is counted as a separate opinion, that is in the case of a type of student similar to the relationship between Rav and Rav Kahana, or Rav and Rav Asi. They were brilliant individuals on their own. Tilagamre de Rav Havutzrifi, Ulisvare de Rav Lo Havutzrifi. They needed Rav for his oral tradition, for things that Rav learned from his Rabbeim. In order to continue the tradition, Rav transferred that information to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. However, in terms of analytical powers, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi did not need Rav's expertise. They contained those abilities on their own. Let us take a look at Rashi at the top. Ki koma Rav de Talmido Nimna Lo Omar Elo Kigon Rav Kahana Rav Asi. Rav who said that a Talmud, a student, is considered a separate opinion. That's if you had a Rav and a student like Rav Kahana. The Legamre Havutzrichi, that for Rav's tradition they needed him. Lama Sheshoma Meirabo, from that which Rav heard, concerning that which Rav heard from his Rebbe, from his teacher, they needed Rav to report that. Avol Lisvore, which means Limtso Rayos Liashiv Ta'amim, but as far as an analysis and logic to find proofs, to resolve different explanations, Einon Srichin, they did not need Rav. Hilchoch Gavro Babi Navshehu. Therefore, he's considered a man on his own. The E Mishum Gemara de Shama Mine, because if you're going to think that they're considered bound up with Rav because of their need to hear his oral traditions, then Ein L'Davar Sof, Kol Yisrael Nami Mi Moshe Kiblu. All of the Jewish people got their oral tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. And needless to say, that doesn't restrict courts from forming because they receive their tradition from one person. V'ein elu ta'amim havonas libo. These are not issues dependent on logic and deep understanding. D'neimo im hoiso chochmoso mipi rav acher, have omer tam acher. That if he would have learned from another Rav, he would have derived something else. Therefore, when it comes to from tradition, that's all from one source, and that's not the reason, because one got tradition from someone, that's not a reason for not being considered a separate individual. Omer Rabbi Avo, Asora Dvorim, Yesh Bein Dine Momenus L'Dine Nefoshos. When looking at our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, one will notice that there are 10 differences between financial cases and capital cases. V'kulon ein noyagin b'shor haniskal. All of the features that are unique to capital cases do not apply to shor haniskal. Shor haniskal is an animal that killed a human being. As a result of that, the animal itself must be executed. Though the animal is executed, nevertheless, we don't treat the animal with the same standard as we do a human being who's guilty of a capital offense. Chutz mi esr mishlosha, with the exception of the need for 23 judges. In other words, only with regard to that particular element, the number of judges, then and only then do we say that the shor niskal, the murderous ox, is parallel to a murderous human being or a human being guilty of a capital offense. Minohani mili, what is the basis for this observation? Omar Rav Acha bar Popa,
Diyamakro lo sate mishpat evyoncha berivoi. That one should not decide a guilty verdict with the majority of one. The pasuk then is saying that with regard to numbers that constitute a majority, with regard to a guilty verdict of a majority of one does not stick. And we now infer, Mishpat evyoncha iato mate. When it comes to a case of a fellow human being, you do not rule based on the majority of one. Aval ato mate mishpat shel shor niskal. Shor niskal is the product of the inference from the word evyoncha. Evyoncha would be your fellow poor man. He is not judged by a majority of one, but a shor niskal can be judged by a majority of one. And Rashi points out, and just like with regard to majority of one, showing you that shor niskal is not considered a standard dinei nefashos, so too with regard to all the other requirements that are characteristic of dinei nefashos, they would not apply to the case of shor niskal. The Gemara now asks a question regarding the number that was just mentioned. We have arrows here to help navigate. Looking back at the third line from the top, Rabbi Avos said that the Mishnah had 10 differences. The Gemara asks, Asora, why do you say 10? Ha Tisha Havu, there were 9 differences. With that having been said, we're going to encounter now a line and a half in brackets. We would initially skip the bracketed section and say we have to account for why was it said that there are 10 differences when we see only 9. So the Gemara answer is ha'iko achriti, there is another difference. The Sanya and the Tanaic source found in that frame section will tell us that there is an additional difference, therefore not 9, but there really are 10 differences. Let's go over the Gemara again. The Gemara had said that, quoting from Rabbi Avo at the third line from the top, the Gemara said that there were 10 differences. The Gemara asks, Ha Tisha Havu, but there are only 9 differences. So the Gemara asks back, Ha Asara Katoni, but if you count the differences listed in the Mishnah, you will find 10. So why do you ask on Rabbi Avo by saying there are 9? There really are 10. The Gemara says, no. Mishum de'ein hakol ksherim, the Esr Mushlosha Chadahi. These two elements of Dine Nefoshos, the element or the rule that says that not all are fit to rule in capital cases, for example, we exclude Mamzerim, that and the idea of having 23 judges are really one in the same. You'll ask, how is that? So the Rashi explains this. The Rashi, Dibur Masal, Ha Tisha Havu, V'Hodar Parkinon, A'ata Kaftin, and then we ask on the question, how can you ask and say there are 9 V'Ho Asorah Tanan, but there are 10 that are taught by Masnisen in the Mishnah. V'Omar, and the response to that is, Hai, Dekashilo Tisha Havu, the Rashi here explains that which the Gemara was asking when it thought there really are 9, Mishum de'ena kol ksherim, because that element that excludes Mamzerim for judging, the Esrim Mushlosh and the need for 23, Chadohi, is really one and the same. The Maitaimo Mamzer Posel Midine Nefoshos, why is it that a Mamzer is unfit to rule on capital cases? Mishum de'bo'inon 23, because you need to have 23 judges. The Hainu Sanhedri, 23, is the number for capital cases. Uba Sanhedri ksiv v'nosu itoch, and in the context of Sanhedri, it says they shall bear the judicial burden with you. But doimin loch, and we explain itoch means like you, like Moshe Rabbeinu, miuchasin kamosla, that have a clear, proper genealogical background like Moshe. Therefore, the issue of excluding mamzerin and the number 23. Are really intertwined elements. Therefore, if they're intertwined elements, so even though the list of the Mishnah appears to be a list of 10 ideas, 10 elements, they're really 9. So the Gemara answers, Ha iko achriti. There is, in fact, another difference between dinei nefashos and dinei mamonos, desanya, as is taught in the following source. Ein moshivin besanhedrin zokein visoris umisha ein loibonim. That a court judge participating in the Sanhedrin shall not be an old man or an impotent individual or someone that does not have kids. All of these are a function of, if they're in this position, being either time-wise removed from children and forgot what it means to deal with children, and the issue of contact with children is a phenomenon that develops the characteristic of mercy, mercifulness. Therefore, these people are considered to be lacking in the midah, in the characteristic of mercy, of rachamim. And that is unacceptable as far as a member of court. Rabbi Yehuda Mosif Af Achzori, he adds to the list, an Achzori individual shall not participate as a member of Sanhedrin. Achzori is a ruthless individual. The chilufein b'mesis, and the opposite is the case when dealing with a court case involving a seducer to pursue idolatry. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah says regarding mesis, lo sachmo v'lo sechase olov, which in effect means have no compassion for him. And as a result of that, it wouldn't bother us if we had a tough kind of judge serving on the court involving a case of maces. Hakol ksherin ladun dine momenus. Hakol la'asuye mai. The word hakol, which is an inclusive word that all are fit to dine momenus, who is being included by that expression? Omar of Yehuda, la'asuye mamzer, to include the mamzer as well. The Gemara has a question that lasts a few lines, and we've indicated this as a long question. In the space between the Gemara and the Tosis, the encircled kuf and the vertical dashed line. All of this is part of the question. The Gemara asks, why do you have to teach in our Mishnah that the mamzer is included as being suitable for serving as a judge in financial cases when we've learned this already? Hotanino chalazimna. We have another source that teaches the same thing. Kol haroi ladun dinei nefashos, roi ladun dinei mamonos. Anyone who is fit to rule over capital cases will certainly be fit to rule in financial cases. V'yesh roi ladun dinei mamonos, and there is an example of someone who's fit to judge financial cases. V'ein roi ladun dinei nefashos, and not fit to judge capital cases. V'avinam bala su'e mai, and we asked, who is being referred to, included in this comment? The Omar Rav Yehuda, Asuye Mamzer, that this source is referring to the Mamzer. In other words, if you plug Mamzer into the source, it comes out that a Mamzer is fit to dan dine momenus and not fit to dan dine nefoshos. So why do we need the Mishnayos to repeat the same teaching? The Gemara answers, I need both sources. Chada lasuye ger, v'chada lasuye mamzer. I need one source to include a ger, who would be considered roi, fit to dan dine mamonos, and one source to include a mamzer. Utsricha, and I need them. I could not derive one from the other. The iashminun ger, if I would tell you that a ger is fit to dan dine mamonos, the reason for that would be, de roi lavo bakohol. He is allowed to marry other Jewish women. Avol mamzer, aim olo. But a mamzer who is restricted from being lovo el hakohol, maybe we would exclude him likewise from serving as a judge in financial cases. Viashmina mamzer, if I would tell you of the acceptability of a mamzer, that may be deba mitipa kshera. That's because his parents are both Zera Yisrael. He comes from Zera Yisrael. Avoger, the lo bo mitipa kshera, the ger whose background is not from Zera Yisrael, aim alo. I would think that maybe he cannot serve as a judge. Tricha, therefore I need a second source to include the mamzer as being capable of serving as a judge in financial cases. V'ein hakok sherim lodun dinei nefoshos, my taima. Why are we excluding a mamzer from capital cases? The Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef presents the following Tanaic teaching: Kishem shebeizin menukin betzedek, kach menukin mikol mum. Just like basin must be free of averus of sins, so too they must be free of all kinds of imperfections, including pagam mishpacha, problematic genealogical issues, and that would exclude a mamzer. Amar amemar maikra, and what's the scriptural reference to this? The answer: kulach yofa rayasi umum ein bach. Pasuk referring in the context of our Gemara to the judges, that you are all beautiful and are lacking nothing. The Gemara attempts to question this source, says with our double underline, we've featured the stages or the series of attempts where the Gemara tries to sidetrack this proof. Vidilma mum mamish. Maybe the pasuk is saying that there should be no physical imperfection in the judges, but if there's a genealogical background problem, that would not hinder his acceptability. Omar Ravacha bar Yankiv Omar Kro v'hisyatzvu shom himoch. Therefore, the Gemara cites another pasuk that says that they shall assemble and stand together with you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Imach b'doy minoch. With you means they should be like you. Now, just like you are not lacking a problem of pagam mishpacha, so too the fellow judges. The Gemara says maybe that too is inconclusive for the general topic of judges suitable for capital cases, because v'dilma hasam mishum shchina. Maybe there they had to be of pure genealogical background, because there was an issue of the divine presence settling upon them. But a general Sanhedrin, a standard court that would deal with capital cases, maybe there would be no restriction regarding a mamzer. Elo Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Kra. Therefore, he brings another pasuk that says v'nasu itach. This pasuk is in the context of the Sanhedros, of the courts that Yisro helped set up. And those courts did not entail any issue of divine presence resting upon them. And nevertheless, it says, V'nosu itoch, and itoch equals b'doy min loch lehevi. It should be like you. The Mishnah that starts on the bottom of this Amid and continues to the next Amid refers to the way that the court is physically set up. The Mishnah begins by saying, Sanhedrin hoisa kechatzi goyren agula. It was shaped in a semicircle, kadeshu royin ze'ezeh, so that all the judges would be able to see one another, and they would also be able to see the defendants and the witnesses who stood in front of them. Ushnei sofrei hadayonim omdim lifnehem. And there were two court scribes, echad miyamin ve'echad mismoil, one on the right and one on the left. V'koisvin divrei hamezakin v'divrei hamechayvin. And these two court scribes, each one of them would record both opinions, namely both opinions, those that argue in defense of the defendant and those that are arguing for his guilt. So that each individual court scribe would record both types of opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda says there will be three court scribes. Echad Koisev Divrei Hamezakin. One scribe will record only the words, the opinions of the judges saying innocent. The Echad, the other scribe, Koisev Divrei Hamechayvin, alone. He would write only the words of those that are indicting. Vashlishi, the third scribe, Koisev Divrei Hamezakin V'Divrei Hamechayvin. The Mishnah, though, continues with the topic of the court, being that we have completed the Omid at this point. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.